Spring up, O well, within my spirit. Praise the Lord for the National College Training. I'm so privileged I could join you. You'll have to bear with me. My voice is going in and out because I've got a little bit of allergy, and I've been preaching the gospel on the college campuses. So today, actually, I'm taking a break from what I've been doing all summer, and that is, you got it. So we've been doing that. We have special orientations, freshmen orientations. We just finished the last one, yesterday. So I was busy Monday, Tuesday, yesterday morning on the college campus doing what? So my voice is half gone. And I have a new little baby boy. He was born Monday at 5 o'clock p.m. His name is Sergio. He came to one of our events, Ice Cream Connect, and we're short a few of our interns because they're here. So us older guys had to step up to the plate. So Sergio was very interested and got to talking to him, and he grew up in a family. His dad, he watched his dad read the Bible when he was young, so it impressed him. He says, I want to read the Bible. And so I think, okay, this guy is seeking. And to read the Bible and understand it, it's best to have the life in you so you can understand it. So I said, Sergio, let's pray to receive the Lord. So he was very easy, like a little lamb, just prayed to receive Christ, big smile on his face. So we're preaching the gospel on the college campuses. And men are responding. In 40 years, 36 years of being around the campus, it's the most open I've ever seen it. So you're a special people at a special time. We're learning. We're getting better. Part of that is that we're learning how to more cooperate with the Lord. So it's partly just our learning, but also there's an environment that's very open. So praise the Lord. Most of you are college students, and you have opportunity that you don't have the rest of your life. So I would like to see how many of you are graduating seniors. Let's say you just graduated. Could you stand up? You finished. Congratulations. I'm happy for you on the one hand, but you gained a diploma, but you lost something else. What did you lose? What did you lose? You lost your student status. That means you can still preach the gospel on the campus, but you're not one of them. It's okay. How about the seniors stand up that have not graduated? If you're a senior and you have not graduated, how many will graduate in the summer? How many in the fall? Okay, you still have status. Use it before you lose it. As students, you have extra clout with the other students. Okay, how about juniors? Stand up. Let me just see how many are you juniors. Going into your junior year, you've got a couple years left. Okay, thank you. Good number. Sophomores, how many sophs we got? Going to sophomore year. Pretty good balance there. All right, thank you. Now we have a special group with us, high school seniors just graduated going into your freshman year, or you've been working and if you're working one right now, whatever class you would be in, you can stand up with them. How about the freshmen, incoming freshmen? Stand up. Okay, good number. Look at this. Don't stand up. You're beginning your college career. In fact, you have the last part of the summer. I'd encourage you to hook up with the campus you're going to now, as soon as this event's over. Talk to them about how can I get involved even this summer, something going on. Spend some time with them. Don't show up the day before class. Show up about a week early and ask, how can I be involved? How many of you are going to go to a college where there's a church life there? How many where there's a team there? A team of full-timers. Okay, a good number of you. So there's people there that are waiting for you, they're looking for you, and you have an entrance, a very easy entrance. Okay, thank you. Okay, I think you all have your outlines. This is on preaching the gospel on the college campus or fruit bearing. Let me ask one more question. How many of you are church kids, meaning you were raised in the church from seventh grade on? It's arbitrary. Seventh grade on, could you stand up? How many of you have been among us? Wow. Okay, I can't count all of you. How about, look at this. Okay, on one hand, this is very encouraging, right? You've come this far. Okay, you sit down. How many, okay, the rest of you stand up. If you're a student and you're not a church kid, we met you in college. Okay, keep standing. Now all the church kids look around. This is why we need to preach the gospel on the college campuses. It'd be good if half the people in this auditorium just stood up. But this is maybe, I don't know, sixth or eighth or something. So there's a need, right, to gain people. Okay, good. Thank you. Okay, so the title of this particular message is what? Okay, so I'm going to reduce this to one word. What word would you select? Let's use this pad. What word would you select to reduce companions and homes? One word. Give me one word. What comes to mind? Huh? Not looking for that one. That's a good word, by the way. We're going to talk about that word, but that's a great one. Another one. Okay, body, vital. No, I'm looking for one word. Think about it. Companions and homes. Haven't heard it yet. Haven't heard it yet. Haven't heard it yet. Huh? That's the second word I'm coming to. Oh, sorry, I gave away. The first word is what? I'm going to give you hints. This message is about people. God is a people lover. He doesn't want to be alone. He doesn't want to be just God. He wants a family. He wants people. He created all people. He loves all people. He loves all colors. They're all beautiful to Him. They're all in His image. And they're all precious to Him. He loves them. He does not want one of them to perish. Not one. But all to be saved. So His heart is filled with thoughts and desire for people. And you're at a stage of life where you're surrounded with people that are probably the most open they'll ever be, unless they have a catastrophe later in their life and something bad happens and they hit the bottom. But right now, you're surrounded by what? People. Okay, so that's what we're talking about today, people, and not just the people in this room. We need companions that are like-minded like us for the purpose of reaching out. Well, let me back up. For the purpose of taking care of one another, and once we're cared for, we're healthy, then we can take care of others and meet others. So people is what we're talking about today. And then someone else already mentioned the other word about people is what? Related people. So I'm going to put related up here. This is really cool. Well, Larry just showed me all this. Related. Don't think I'm high tech. Look at that. I can just draw a little squiggle line. I can't believe the technology. Okay, related people. So not just people, but related people. That's what companions are. That's what a home is. It's related people. That's what makes home. In Spanish, you have the word hogar. See? You speak Spanish. For home. And the root of that means, what is the root of that word? Bonfire. It's warm. A home is where there's warmth through related people. So this is what's capturing to man. When man meets people who are related, they love each other, they're related in the Lord. That is the reality of the body of Christ, and that is what draws people to Him. It's a real testimony. Okay, let's go ahead to the outline. I can see we're going to be pressed on time here. And let me just say a little word here. In my background, I was a believer since fourth grade, but not much of one. It wasn't until I was in college that I had to turn to the Lord. And it wasn't early in my college years. Someone named Emmett Cooper, the one person I remember most from 4 years of college, was a person who shared the gospel with me. So don't think that your speaking about Christ is unnoticed, and that you will not be remembered and your words will not be remembered, because these are words, these are eternal words. And people may oppose you, they may frown. Don't let that stop you. Don't believe the people's frown. Emmett shared the four spiritual laws with me down in the dormitory laundry room. I was not too interested. He set up a lunch with me. I still wasn't speaking. God was coming to me, but I wasn't ready. But the person I remember most of all was that one person among people I played sports with, fraternity people, study people. That person stands out in all my undergraduate. So don't think your speaking of Christ is small. It may not be that much. It may just be very simple. It may just be the Lord's name. But ones that are called of the Lord, that will lodge in their being. There's a sister in the church. Any of the Finn Dyson boys here? Ben, are you here? I don't know. I'm going to tell about your mom. There's a sister. She was at UT, and she just got through with final exams, and she went up to the Coke machine, and there was a sister there. And so they interchanged a little dialogue. And this sister told Betty, who was not a believer at that point, Betty asked how the finals were. She said, "Great, I just took my final with Jesus. I just took my final exam with Jesus." And Betty thought, what does that mean? I took my final with Jesus? You mean that was your professor or whatever? And so that lodged in Betty's being. Betty spent the next month calling, trying to find out who was that girl, going through the dormitories, where is that girl? I've got to ask her what she meant when she said she took her exam with Jesus. And so eventually she found that girl. That girl led her to the Lord. And about 2 weeks later, she walked past our Christians on a campus table, signed up with us, and now she's a solid sister in the church in San Antonio. She has three boys in the church, and they're going on their home, having college kids in it. Great. Because someone said, "I took my test, my exam with Jesus." And then she walked away. That word lodged in Betty's being. So don't underestimate your little word to somebody on the campus. Okay, so under number one here, why don't you read it? Save my voice. Go. Okay, so under A, why don't you read that one? Okay, so this is about Daniel. I think enough been said about Daniel. There's plenty of application there, but for time's sake, I can tell we're going to run out of time. So the pattern's there. God needed some to stand against the captivity. There was captivity. The young people, they are in their captivity. Well, the campuses are dark. They're confused people. They're captives under Satan's clutch. That's the environment you live in. He needs some to stand against that captivity and testify for God about the riches of God, and that we're free from that captivity. So I think enough on that. B, go ahead and read that. Okay, good. There's a principle in the Bible, I'm sure they've covered it plenty of times, about two being together. The Lord is richer when there's two. Here's a verse for you. Let's see if I can work this thing. Why don't you read this verse for me? Go. Okay, two or three, and these two or three are companions, and you know what companion means? What's the Spanish word? Con, with, bread. Companion means bread fellow, messmate, one who eats bread, one who eats the same bread. So a companion is one that you eat bread with, and if you read the Acts outlines, it's Peter's company and Paul's company for the propagation. And a company is also defined as a group sharing bread, a company. So we need the twos and the threes. This is where the Lord is very sweet to us. How about we read this verse again? So the Lord's presence is very sweet alone, but when you have two people or three, there's more there. It's more, it's richer, there's more power there, there's more presence. It's a special. It's more than just the presence you have as an individual. Based on this verse, there am I in their midst. Okay, so Sam's going to come up here in just a second. Sam, I moved you to point C. How about we all read C together? Okay, so I want you to write down now who your companion is. See if you can write at least one name, maybe you can write two. I'll give you 10 seconds. If you can't think of that person, then you probably don't have one. So that means you need to pray to the Lord. Lord, I need a companion. This is the first category of companions, and I'm looking for someone about your age, someone in college, someone about your age. Can you write a name down there for me? Who are you related to? This verse comes from Matthew 18. That whole chapter is on relationships in the kingdom. Who are you related to? That's your companion. And with these companions, there is become strong, rejoicing, proper Christian. Just prayed with a sister on Monday, a college sister, weeping. Very difficult family situation. She's having to take action against one of her parents. And in tears, she's praying and crying, and part of her prayer was, Lord, thank you for my companions. Because that's how she has gotten through this very extremely difficult situation. So our companions, first of all, when we gather in the Lord's name, we have this presence, we have this care. So companions are not just for preaching the gospel. Firstly, they're for our going on together. For our being sustained, for our being lifted up. And Ecclesiastes, it says, if they fall, one will lift up another. So we need the companions for being lifted up. We are all failures. We're all sick people, and we have failures. If we don't have the companion, I'm worried about you, for you going on with the Lord and in the church life. So first of all, we have to have those that we eat bread together with. We can open to one another. You can get what's in there out, and you can fellowship and pray together. Companions pray together. They lift one another up. They sustain one another. That's Ecclesiastes. That's the verse you have. Two are better than one. You got that? So companions are for strengthening one another. And we have a pop-up here. We call it pop-ups. This is a testimony. So Sam, why don't you come up to this microphone, Sam. He's going to share briefly, give him about 2 minutes, about his companion being perfected. Companions not only we're strong together and proper, but we also are perfected. Go ahead, Sam.
So at one of our orientation events, I was just with one of my companions. And so we meet this freshman called Gerard, and he walks in, and we start talking to him. And, you know, very soon, I have this realization. You know, I have no idea how to preach the gospel to this guy. You know, I'm asking the standard questions, like trying to open up, you know, what was your Christian experience in high school? And, you know, he was just giving these answers like, you know, all at college, all I'm interested in really is, you know, going to parties and, you know, playing lacrosse. And so I'm pretty much giving up hope on this guy. Just, you know, kind of like, you know, why don't we just let him eat his ice cream and walk out, whatever. He starts talking about how he's broken like 8 bones in his body. And my companion just says to him, you know, do you realize there is a line of unbroken bones in the Bible? And, you know, we just start talking to him and saying how the Lord Jesus on the cross, none of his bones were broken to fulfill the prophecy. And that out of his side flowed blood and water. And the water was for regeneration. You know, to regenerate him, to put the life of God in him. And this guy ends up getting saved. We prayed with him to receive the Lord against all odds. And I'm just talking to my companion later. I'm like, you know, dude, how did you know to speak that to him? You know, like, which gospel track were you using? And he says to me, you know, bro, I had no idea what I was going to say to him. You know, I was just, you know, and when we're preaching the gospel to people, we just have to be flexible. You know, to meet them where they're at. And so, you know, the next 2 people that I talked to, one of them just said, you know, I got a taste for computer science in high school, and that's the reason why I'm taking that as my degree in college. I'm just thinking, what do I say? Oh, okay, so how about 1 Peter 2:3? If you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. I'm just bringing in these simple things that I don't really know how to bring in the gospel, but, you know, I'm just speaking for the Lord and just kind of rolling with it. And from that experience, I feel like I learned just so much. You know, I just realized that it is such a necessity to preach the gospel of companions, because not only do they embolden you and encourage you to speak, but actually it's one of the only ways and it's one of the best ways to be perfected and to have other people perfect you in your speaking the gospel.
Very good. All right. Great. Thank you. Okay, moving on to letter D, or we read under C1 about flee youthful lust. I think we've covered that verse already in the training here. Fleeing and pursuing with those, you can circle with those, that's the companions who call on the Lord. And then C2 is it's better to have 3 or 4 companions. If we have 4 to support us from each direction, will not fall, regardless of what storm may come. Okay, then, so they lift up each other, yet that verse is in Ecclesiastes. And then we have on letter D, if one person has 4 companions, the 5 of them will even be a 5-fold cord. Nothing can break this cord. So we have another pop-up here. Whitney and Danielle, are you going to come up? You want 2 mics or 1? Okay.
My name is Daniela, and we're students at UT Austin. And this summer, we had the opportunity to participate in the internship with Christian Students on Campus. And so among meeting, you know, all these freshmen and orientees, our burden was that we would get to experience what it was like to bring someone to receive the Lord. And so Whitney, she prayed for this, and the Lord eventually gave her that experience for her first time. And I remember she came to me and she was so excited and she was overjoyed. You know, this, she's like, this is my first time, and I prayed with them and they received the Lord. And as she was walking me through her experience, I developed the same kind of urgency. And I remember I was praying out in my head while she was walking me through. I was like, Lord, I want that. And so the next day, I prayed to the Lord. I was like, Lord, today, what about today giving me one that I could lead to the Lord? And so that afternoon, the Lord answered my prayer, and I met this freshman, and I shared the gospel with her. I read some key verses, and she received the Lord. And so but I needed Whitney's portion, because it was through her experience that I was stirred up to go and seek the Lord. And so praise the Lord for companions. We set fire on our campuses, not alone, but with others. And so eventually, you know, with all these ones that have entered our heart, our next burden was to figure out, how are we going to take care of them?
Right. So we started considering, you know, how are we going to go on with these ones who we prayed with to receive the Lord? And to be honest, in these past 5 weeks, between the two of us, we have about 60 contacts that we've met. And when you think about it, say I have half of these contacts and Daniela has the other half, we just are inadequate. Apart from each other, we do not have the capacity to care for these ones, and there's so many.
Yeah.
So even we've received a burden from the Lord that we would set a time to pray. And we want to start this summer, before these freshmen even come to the campus, to just have fellowship with the Lord and with one another, to ask the Lord, Lord, which two or three would you give to each one of us to bear with one another and to labor on and invest in? So even just the Lord has made my burden Daniela's burden, and her burden my burden,
Amen.
That we would bear these fruit together and labor as companions.
Praise the Lord. Those are real companions. And through a number of these that have been serving this summer, over 130 people, mostly freshmen, have received the Lord in the last 5-6 weeks through the students. Isn't that wonderful? Because they're companions, they're grouped up, they have time, they're giving their summer to the Lord. What better way to spend your summer as a student than give it to the Lord? And you can meet the ones of your age and share the gospel. So, great testimony. So, pray for Whitney and Daniela that they could bear some fruit before they graduate. That's our burden, not just to preach the gospel to someone that they get saved. That's great. But we want the teams or the campuses, the campus teams, which are the students and some full-timers, we want them to grow stronger. So, we want people to remain. So follow-up is very critical. So when we think about preaching the gospel, yes, we want just to save whoever will be saved, but we really are looking for some that would be remaining fruit. And I think we'll have time to get to that here in John 16. We better keep going, though. Okay, so D is about having some companions. And then on preaching the gospel, companions, it's important to have, come on up, Ty, something definite. Companions, they get together. Remember, they're related people. Related means you give time. If you're not spending some time with your companions, you cannot be related. Right? So Ty would like to share about his companion.
Ty, I'll be a senior in the fall at UT. And I'm kind of a little outgoing. But when it comes to preaching the gospel, I'm like a closed door. I really don't like to do it by myself. I really feel it's intimidating. And this semester, I feel like the Lord was trying to open a door. And I said, Lord, if you want me to preach the gospel this semester, give me a companion to do it with. And so I got a brother, and we actually put it in my Google Calendar 2 times a week for 30 minutes. That's all I was going to do, start off with. And I just remember it was on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 2 o'clock. And in the mornings on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus. 2 o'clock, Lord. Oh, Lord. That was pretty much my feeling every the morning of those days. And then we would go out, we would pray a little bit, and then we would go out on the gospel. And the first time when we went out, Brandon Santos got saved. praise the Lord, a new baby. And that really encouraged me to keep going. And but I still had this feeling that sometimes people wouldn't get saved, so I would really feel discouraged. And 2 o'clock would come, and I'll be had to depend on my brother to get in the spirit and go preach the gospel. And there was this moment, it was a Thursday, probably after spring break, where it was pouring down, raining. And, I thought, okay, well, we don't have to go out since it's raining, you know. Lord, you know, we can just go another day or something. But no, we actually end up staying in the building and preaching the gospel. And 3 people got saved in 30 minutes. And I was like, Lord Jesus, thank you for this time. And I just really appreciate the Lord. If I did not set a time with a companion in the beginning of the semester, I probably would have missed all these babies that I accumulated over the semester. And so, thank you, Lord, that we can have companions and we can have set times to preach the gospel.
Okay, and so one of his ones he led to the Lord or helped is actually now going on very well in the church. And so we need another level, another kind of companions. You already wrote down your companions that are the same age. Now write down companions that are younger than you. We need someone under our care that becomes our companion. I saw it with Ty. One who took care of has now become his close companion. And Ty helped him. So do you have a companion at this level? And if not, your companion at your level needs to pray for some younger ones you can lead to the Lord, or maybe they're nominal Christians you can bring into the riches of Christ. Can you write down a name like that? If not, pray the Lord would give you a companion that's younger than you, you could raise up and bear some remaining fruit, especially before you graduate. We're trying to change the culture where it's normal to graduate from college with fruit. You're not just a receiver anymore, but you're a giver. You become a fruitful branch, which is the next point in Roman numeral 2. It's about John 15:16. How about we read A? 2A, go. Okay, so write down the word there, remaining. That's in verse 16. We don't have time to read it now. I'll go back. Bear remaining fruit. That's what we want, remaining fruit. So when you leave the campus, you leave somebody there that's in the club, someone that has the same spirit you do, someone that can carry on the testimony of the Lord on that campus. That should be your goal. Not a 4.0 GPA, grade point average, but a God-propagating average GPA. GPA stands for GPA, God propagating average. You're not in school just for your grades. God didn't put you there just to make your head bigger. He wants people. Oh, that's okay. Anyway, GPA right there. You know GPA. Okay, so go down and read C. The nucleus is like a little fishing boat. Okay. So, here, nucleus, let's get a few of you guys right here. Up, up, up. Up, you four right here. You're like a little fishing boat. You're on the campus. Here's 4. Your companions, 3 or 4, 2 or 3, 4. You're like a little fishing boat. You pray, you gather, you consider your friends in school, a class. You go up 2 by 2 in the gospel. And eventually, come on, boat, you're going over here and you get one. You got a little hook, you get this guy. What's your name? Andres, good Andres, a good addition to this little fishing boat. Okay, here we go. Here's another one. This one guy looks like he can speak English. Robbie? Okay, this fishing boat. So now this boat is getting kind of full of fish. The fish are right there in the middle. And so, come on, fishing boat. You're fishing, fishing. Eventually, we need a container boat. Oh, look at these older brothers over here. Hey, the two Toms, come on, we need a little fishing boat here. I mean, a container boat. So the purpose is, so the camera can see you, and their wives, they all have great wives and kids. This is the container boat. This is called homes.
Amen.
Related people.
Yeah.
Living out Christ after college.
Amen.
And so this fishing boat needs a container boat, otherwise it's gonna sink. It gets too full. It needs somewhere to bring, which of the fruit? It needs someplace. Sail over here. Come on. To bring the container boat. So now you drop off the release the fish. Release the fish. Okay, so there's a container. There needs to be a container for this. That's the homes. Read your Bible. It's the home. So now the fishing boat can keep fishing. Oh, here's some more. Here's another one. Oh, that's a nice catch. And how about you right there? Okay, here's another. Here's the other home over here. The Moonies and the Getz. They're homes. These old gray-headed brothers. They need some life. They need somebody young in their life. They don't care about their health and their ailment. And then you drop off the little fish there. Another container boat, right? So this way the fishing boat can keep fishing, and they're still related, they're still involved. So these are the container boats. This is what the homes are for, to contain. We need the homes. I know you don't have the homes, right? But you can have one someday. But right now you can reach out to the brothers and sisters in your church and fellowship with them about, it's called coordination. So the third kind of companion you need, what was the first kind of companion you need? Same level. Then you need another one that's under you. And then you need a companion. Here's a new companion for you. This guy right here. Tom had all the same problems you had and probably more. He understands. He's not condemning. He can navigate, help you through human life. Not to condemn you, but to help you. You need this kind of a companion. Right? So you have to have these three kind of companions. You need him too, probably just as much or more. Okay, thank you, boats. Okay, we have another pop-up real quick. Will? No, let's see. Jackie, you're going to pop up on the homes. You got about 2 minutes, girl. You can talk for 15 minutes.
Hi, my name is Jackie, and last summer I met a freshman at her orientation. Her name is Vanessa. And during the summer, we read the Gospel of John together in the Book of Acts. And she was very open. She was really seeking the Lord. And so I knew that in order for her to remain, I needed to bring her into a home. And so the fall semester, when she came, even like the first week, she was already really homesick. Like, she really missed her family. So that was like a perfect opportunity for me to invite her into a home. And so she gets really scared when she gets to meet new people. So she was open to go, but she was scared. She was like, I'm just going to go because I know that you're going. So we went, and since, like, within 5-10 minutes that she was there, she was like, wow, like, I'm so happy to be here. Like, I really feel like at home. Even, like, the food that the sister made, it was just, like, exactly what her mom made. And everything was just, like, everything reminded her of her own home. And so even we kept going, like, every Friday to this home meeting, and she just, like, became really... It was just, like, really awesome to see her, like, growing in the Lord, and how, like, in the big meetings she didn't want to share. But here she was the one, like, always talking and sharing about her experiences of the Lord. This home, like, just helped her, like, be open. And even she really enjoyed, like, the food, the physical food that the sister made, but also the spiritual food. She said that the best time of her week was the time that she was in this home. Wow. And then this summer she was doing the internship with me. And so we kept going to this home meeting, and so the saints, like, kept asking us, like, oh, like, how's this week? How are the freshmen? And so she told us about this one student that is, like, very quiet. She didn't want to speak to any students besides Vanessa and one of the full-timers. And she was like, but I want to bring her to this home. We need to pray for this one because I want her to be here. Like, I know that if she comes here, she's going to be able to open up to you just to gain more of the Lord. And so even, like, with the saints, we became, like, really related to one another. Vanessa, like, even told them one time, like, I'm really considering moving to your home because the doors are really expensive. So this is just how, like, comfortable she feels living with them and, like, being with them all the time. And so it's just like, homes are really important. And Vanessa has seen the importance of the homes. And this is why she wants to bring others into the homes.
Very good. The homes win. Okay, the last point, Roman numeral 4, is the need for practical fellowship concerning home. That's the coordination between the fishing boat and the containing boat. And Will wants to give a little pop up here on the last point. Once a freshman is brought into your living room, most of the work is already done. Will, can you keep it to 2 minutes? You're on the clock, bro, brother.
Amen. Once a freshman is brought into your home, the work has already been done. Amen. So my freshman year, I met a freshman named John Pullen during my orientation. And throughout the semester, you know, we got really related. We started hanging out a lot. But most importantly, we went to the same home meeting every Friday night. I remember I was fellowshipping with Tina, the brother whose house we went to, and whether or not we should inoculate John Pullen, and whether or not we should kind of let him know that there's certain bad speaking about us. And after some fellowship, we realized, you know, it's probably not necessary to inoculate him due to his relatedness with the brothers and due to his relatedness with his home. And it wasn't actually until spring semester, this past spring semester, so about a year and a half later, John told me and Tino that during his freshman year, he actually self-poisoned himself. So one night, he was bored, so he decided to search up Christian students on campus, and he found this article about us being a cult, and so he started to read this article. And when John told me this, you know, I looked at Tino, and I started thinking, you know, we should have done something, we should have inoculated him. And I started panicking, you know, thinking of these arguments to kind of counter-arguments, to prove that, you know, this article is phony. But then John continued to say that, you know, I read this article, but then I compared, you know, my experience with the club. I compared my experience in the home. And I realized, you know, the experiences didn't match. And once he had this realization that, you know, my experience with his home and was different from what this article was saying, he just closed the article and he just went on with his life. And actually, if John never told us this story, you know, me and Tina would never known he got poisoned. And we realized, you know, even though we didn't vocally inoculate him, you know, John received the best inoculation. And John was inoculated by the homes. You know, his presence, his being in the homes week by week was what kept him and what safeguarded him in the church life. So actually, this past spring break, you know, me and John and a couple other brothers, we drove out to California, and we went short-term training at the full-time training in Anaheim. And you know, throughout this whole entire week, I was thinking, you know, if it weren't for the homes, if it weren't for his relatedness in that home, you know, John probably wouldn't have made it. You know, he probably would have got self-poisoned. But it was in the homes when he saw, you know, the genuine care. It was in the home that he saw the genuine love. It was in the homes he saw, you know, the testimony of Christ being lived out. And it was because of this, you know, he was safeguarded when the poison came. So, you know, saints, the homes work.
Amen.
So college students, if you're not in a home, get in a home.
Amen.
And if you're in a home, get connected to the home.
Amen.
Not only is the home the container for all these ones we care for, not only is the home the container for all these freshmen related to, most importantly, the homes are the container for us. You know,
That's good. We got to stop. Yeah, good. Thank you. They got a lot to say and out of time.